Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Daily Info's podcast. That's what we have here, yes. It's your weekly version of Oxcast, your guide to what's on in and around the city of Oxford. I'm Alwyn Collinson.
I'm Anais Higgins.
And we're going to kick you off with a pint. That's the way I like to start everything in my life, including the mornings.
Everything should come with a pint. So this pint comes with science. It's the Pint of Science Festival.
There's no better combination for science than alcohol, experiments and booze. What could go wrong?
It started yesterday and it continues tonight, Wednesday the 15th and Thursday the 16th of May. And this festival is all about making science accessible and bringing science to the people. And the people are in the pubs, obviously.
I like that they've gone, like, we've gone down from the Victorian days of we shall build public libraries and the commoners shall come and be educated to where are the people? In the pub. All right, go to the damn pub.
Exactly. So it's run by Oxford SciBar. It does what it says on the tin. Science in a bar. The whole festival is taking place at the Port Mahon on St Clement's.
Fantastic.
And the theme of the festival is the human body.
So and the effects of alcohol thereon, perhaps?
No. Interestingly, that topic's being avoided during...
Being skated over. Because you can see practical examples all around you.
I mean, maybe it's like a sort of study of that in itself, and at the end of the year they'll be like, in fact, you took part in science.
Your liver cirrhosis has advanced the cause.
So, not hearing about the effect of alcohol, but tonight at 6:30 you can hear about the body and oxygen, another vital element other than alcohol. And then tomorrow the talk's all about the senses and perception. So it's a pretty foolproof concept. You can just go and learn something new over a few pints in a lovely pub. And in fact, the Oxford SciBar run events monthly. So they're calling this a festival. It's 3 days. It's all compact. But I think it's every third Thursday, or at least a Thursday in every month. And they are at the Port Mahon. And you can go and have some science with your booze.
I have to say, they are really good, actually, because we, as en masse, the Daily Info team, ran down about a year ago to one of the SciBar events, which was on then at the Cape of Good Hope, and it was the Science of Wine Tasting, and it was absolutely brilliant. They basically gave you free wine, which is obviously why we were there, but they also gave you these kind of tongue charts, and they gave you, like, they made you realise where you were tasting the different flavours in the wine on your tongue.
That sounds much better than when you do it and there's pretentious people being like, oh, you can taste the grapes and... the water and
you're trying grape. To think, what's in wine? What flavours do people find in wine? Grapes, that's right.
It's just grapes.
Anais Higgins, wine connoisseur.
But the OxSciBar people also do their own podcast. And obviously, we love podcasts.
Yes. So do we mention them as it's cross-marketing, or do we stamp on it as the competition that it is?
Most people I know don't ever listen to just one podcast.
No,
they like
true.
Several podcasts.
Yeah, they're like Pringles or alcohol.
Yes. So you can find out more about when the events are and listen to past events in their podcasts on the OxfordSciBar.com website, and head to the Port Mahon tonight and tomorrow for 6:30 for your pint and your science.
Sounds brilliant. Well, I'm afraid that I now feel a bit kind of, you know, like I'm lowering the intellectual tone of it because I just have gigs on Thursday night.
Gigs can be very stimulating.
And these will be stimulating in some ways. On Thursday night, you have a choice between two gigs at the O2 Academy on Cowley Road. They are both very different, but one would hope equally great acts. First up are indie rockers Klaxons.
Not the Klaxons.
Not the Klaxons, yes indeed. It turns out that it's very 1970s to have the in front of your rock name.
Oh, but it's very early noughties.
Oh, is it?
I think so.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Well, there we go. That's when I stopped listening
to
music.
Is the knives, the trousers,
you're just
the hair.
You're just making things
anything,
up.
Anything, any band can have the and be a band.
Mm. Anyway, the Oxcasts. Yeah, there we go. That's copyrighted. Don't steal. Who won a Mercury Prize in 2007. We're back to the Klaxons. The Klaxons. Who won a Mercury Prize in 2007. They have been sweeping up NME and Ivor Novello Awards ever since, so they're much decorated. And if you are a fan of acid rock or new rave, as they call themselves, amongst other ludicrous things, check these guys out. They're going to be at the O2 on Thursday night. While Klaxons... are downstairs, head upstairs at the O2 to see Lucy Rose. Now, I know you're a big fan of Lucy Rose, Anais.
Yes, she was at Truck Festival last summer, but I don't think I actually saw her then. I kind of heard about her and knew she was somebody I would like, but didn't really follow.
No.
But
okay.
Since then, I've learned what I've missed out on.
Right. Would you recommend her?
Yes,
What sort of musical style would you describe
she's
Lucy Rose as?
Kind of like folky pop, very
folky
much
pop.
What's in at the moment.
Yeah, sort of singer-songwriter.
Yeah, the Staves, that beautiful voice.
Bit Joni Mitchell-esque. I know she cites her as one of her influences.
Modern Joni Mitchell, that kind of gives her a bit more depth than I've sort of projected onto her. No, Joni Mitchell, that's weepy stuff.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true,
classic weep.
Mm. Well, she is a singer-songwriter. She will be at the O2. And interestingly, she doesn't sell merchandise or CDs. Instead, she peddles her own blend of tea to her fans. You couldn't ask for a much more British act, really,
wow.
Could you? It's called Builder's Grey, and if you want a taste of it, along with some great music, head to the O2 Academy tomorrow night. Doors open for both gigs at 7.
I just keep thinking about that tea now. On Friday night, there's a quite special kind of cross-city event called Museums at Night, in which all of the Oxford University museums are open after hours. So it's completely free.
Amazing.
And the museums participating are the Pitt Rivers, Ashmolean or Ashmolean, and the Museum of the History of Science. So they're all organising different themed events.
These sound amazing.
Yes, I'm going to run you through. They're really, really cool. So the Museum of the History of Science, which is on Broad Street, they're theming their event around creatures of the night. So you can see owls and scorpions. And also vampires and stars, not kind of...
Vampires!
Quite literal.
I didn't realise the Museum of the History of Science had a stuffed vampire.
Like. I'm wondering what they're going to do for the vampires. They're also showing Nosferatu, which is the silent German 1922 horror classic.
Wow.
And with a live piano score.
Wow.
And there's a pre-screening talk as well. Mm-hmm. So that's at 9 o'clock.
It is a great classic, and it's actually very hard, I believe, to watch, because many of the editions of the original film were destroyed on a legal decision because it breached the copyright of an earlier version of Dracula.
Interesting.
It's bizarre, yeah.
Maybe they'll talk about that in the... Are you doing the pre-show talk?
No, I wish. I wish. No. I just happen to be a blood-sucking vampire. So, yeah.
I see. Mm-hmm. The Pitt Rivers are also playing with the theme of darkness. They're playing with lights in the dark. So they're turning the lights off in the museum and you can explore with torches. And there's also going to be kind of colourful light installations and music soundscapes. So they're trying to bring everything to life. And it sounds quite playful and artistic.
I'm a bit threatened by the Pitt Rivers bringing everything to life. Because you've been there, right?
Yeah.
And they have, you know, the shrunken heads and the cabinets of skulls and the sacrificial daggers. I think if you were too overzealous in trying to create a kind of spooky atmosphere in there, you would probably summon some sort of demonic monster from the South American jungles.
Yes, the worst could happen would happen.
Yeah.
In there. And finally, the Ashmolean. They're not really going down the kind of after dark theme like the other two, but they're using this as an occasion to look back on their history because they're launching a new book called Dodos and Dark Lanterns. So there's dark in the book title, but
catch
not really anywhere
yeah.
else. And the book documents Ashmolean stories. So they're hosting tours led by curators, mm-hmm. and there'll be a lecture on the history of the museum. So it's more about how the Ashmolean's grown to what it is today.
Great.
So that's open from 6 till 10. The Pitt Rivers is open from 7 till 10, but the Museum of the History of Science and the Ashmolean are open from 6. And it's completely free, and it's this Friday, 17th of May.
Amazing. Well, I actually have some more music. I'm afraid this is the way the podcast is going to work today. Anais will uplift your mind. I will damage your eardrums, both metaphorically and literally right now. So it's another up-and-coming artist. Head to the Oxford Town Hall on Friday night to see folk virtuoso, fiddle master, and subject of my girlfriend's fantasy, Seth Lakeman, who is a very dark and brooding fiddle man.
Does he have a beard?
No, he
what?
Doesn't. I know.
You're fine then.
You may not be aware of this, listeners, but I have recently cultivated a sort of face fungus, which yes. may or may not be doing things for my looks. I've no idea. Seth Lakeman, that is, does not have a beard, but he is Mercury nominated, which I am not yet. You know,
him and Klaxons.
Yes.
It's now pause Klaxons.
Pause
swallow Klaxons. You don't say that.
Yeah. Anyway, the Seth Lakeman is going to be playing viola, banjo, and at least two types of guitar at 8 p.m. on Friday.
All at once, I hope.
Obviously, with his toes. Yeah. And his tongue. Why do you think she's so interested?
So we're going to hark back to last week and this week and next week with Art Weeks. It's every week in May. And last week, we sent out Emma and Orla from our office on Cowley Road to nearby exhibitions. And although the city events for Art Weeks aren't happening anymore, we thought we'd still want to share with you what they discovered, because the artists are obviously still there making their work and worth hearing about.
An artist is for life, guys, not just for 3 weeks in May.
Exactly. So we are going to get Orla and Emma in to tell us a little bit about who and what they saw.
Well, we started off at the UPP, where they had the lights off, so it was a bit, you had to sort of wait for your eyes to get used to the darkness, but once you did, it was very atmospheric. And there were lots of photographs around the walls. There was photographs of various things. So Leila Johansson photographed sort of black and white landscapes. They were really cool. There was one particular that was a village that I've been to in the south of France, which is like built into a mountainside, into a hillside, and it's really cool. And you can like stand in the village square by the cathedral or the church, and you're literally on the side of a mountain. It's really cool and very dramatic.
And then they had on the screen in the UPP, they were rotating the photographs of all of the six artists, so you could just sit down and like drink it all in, and it was really nice.
And from there we went on to the truck store, where they were showing posters. Do you want to say about that?
Yeah, it was some silk screen printed posters, gig posters, and they were just sort of clipped up on the walls, like no frames, no notes, but just really amazing and like so much detail and so beautifully crafted. Definitely recommend.
Good smell of coffee as well. It's a nice atmosphere. And then we visited Stella Campion's studio in the, I think it's Cowley Road Studios. And she produces this really intricate silverware, which is totally amazing. Apparently she has one particular piece that was this sort of sculpted silver cross that she made for the Bishop of Winchester for his inauguration, is that like when you become a bishop?
Yeah.
Anyway, for his bishop becoming ceremony.
She made lots of goblets for all the Oxford colleges.
Ooh,
and things.
Goblets.
Yeah.
We were discussing that Oxford's probably quite a good place if you're supplying sort of church related
ceremonial silverware.
Yes.
Ceremonial silverware.
Good
place to be.
Yeah. So those bits are amazing. And we actually saw her at work as well, because she has her little workplace in the corner, and she makes everything with a hammer. Which is amazing, considering how like small and intricate all these pieces
are. She has these amazing ducks that she's embossed in her silver, with you can see the feather detail, and she just does it all with a little hammer. It's incredible.
We also visited the workshop studios a bit further down and off Cowley Road, and they were really interesting. There are lots of artists that have installations there and sort of just display their work.
And even if the workshop's not open, if you go into the China shop, which is the small gallery, then they'll probably be able to open it up for you, and you get to see all the cool treasures inside.
Mm. It's excellent. There was so we had two sort of favourites. One of them was Jane Wafer's sculptures. She knits with wire, sort of silver wire, these huge biological themed kind of cell-like structures that then get suspended to be... to be exhibited.
Apparently she also studied biology, and the number of stitches relates to the number of cells in a particular organism for each of the pieces that she makes.
And then Jan Crombie, who I think owns the studios as well, she had her pictures upstairs, and they were these tribal themed portraits, and the person showing us around was telling us how she sort of starts by just painting a face, and there's not really any story behind it, and then as she paints more onto it, then there becomes, she sort of realises what the narrative is behind the face, and they were sort of really haunting.
Yeah, and apparently she grew up on an artist commune, so that's influenced her work a lot.
Living the dream.
Yeah.
The artist's dream.
Fantastic. And Oxfordshire Art Weeks is still on until the end of the month, and you can send us reviews to, we will publish them on our website on dailyinfo.co.uk for all to see. You can send them by email, or you can tweet us your mini reviews, which we can then put up, and any pictures would be great as well.
So currently the Oxfordshire Art Weeks have gone south, so down to Wantage, Abingdon, Didcot and that area. And in the last week of the month, they're going up north to Banbury, Woodstock, Charlbury and so on. So sample some of the best local artists and makers Oxfordshire has to offer.
Fantastic. Well, I have now, again on Friday night, a show whose title threatens this podcast's PG rating on iTunes. It's called the F-word moment, and it's about that horrible moment when we discover that we've monumentally, fundamentally cocked something up. I'm sure we're all familiar with it, whether that's misdirecting an email, shouting the wrong person's name during sex, or darker tales of loss and death, as this will also cover. The performers, there are two of them, are going to be encouraging the audience to share their personal oh fudge moment, or just be entertained by the tales of when other people around the audience went oh flip. Oh Food got great reviews at the Edinburgh Festival last year, including a Fringe First Award for new writing. One review said that it helps us understand a fundamental truth. To err is human, and after all, we all sometimes fuck things up.
We do. And where is this?
This is in St. Peter's College. There are two shows on Friday night, and they're going to be doing them one after the other.
Some dark secrets are going to be revealed.
Exactly.
And also just some massive errors.
Massive errors. Massive balls up, yeah.
Okay. Something I'm sure we'd all have something to contribute to.
Speak for yourself.
Well, on Saturday evening at the Cornerstone Arts Centre in Didcot, Bridget Christie is coming with her new show, A Bic for Her. So Bridget Christie's been doing stand-up for about 10 years now, and she was recently commissioned to record a series about feminism for Radio 4, which was called Bridget Christie Minds the Gap and was aired in March. Mm-hmm. And to my dismay, it's not on iPlayer anymore. It's only 4 episodes.
What?
Would do no harm just to keep it up all year round.
Would have helped fight the myth of unfunny feminism, wouldn't it? Because Bridget Christie, I have seen her live, she is really very funny.
She's very funny. Mm-hmm. She also has a penchant towards dressing up. She's done hall gigs dressed as an ant, bacteria or a donkey.
Yeah, she was just as an ant when I saw her, and it did kind of work, although you quickly kind of forgot that this woman under very hot stage lights in a very small pub room in Edinburgh was dressed as an ant. It was just sort of, yeah.
But now when I see her face, I just see the ant.
Yeah.
Which I don't think she would mind. So she did an ant sketch also with Harry Hill, and he has described her as the most original comic he's seen in years.
Wow. And he's seen a lot of people,
yeah,
hasn't he? Yeah,
exactly.
Because of his TV thing.
And her work has been described as beautiful insanity. So she has a feminist agenda, so there will be lambasting of the fact that there are pens designed for women's dainty little hands.
Now this is the title of the show, isn't it?
Which is what the title of the show is based on, yes.
In case our listeners haven't seen these, go look. You'll have to look back in time using some means of internet searching.
I think Amazon put them on sale first, and I think it started with people writing in the kind of feedback comment section,
yeah,
very, very ridiculous comments, and then it kind of grew. And also Ellen DeGeneres did a very funny video sketch, which is online.
These were pens designed specially for women, for your dainty hands in pastel shades so that you don't crimp your nails or whatever other the mysteries.
Women couldn't write until there was a pen made for them.
Obviously.
All these years we've just been struggling with all these man pens.
I know, they're dreadful, aren't they? I can see you holding one now, and frankly,
I don't know what I'm doing with it.
It's like a caber in your beautiful claw.
So if you want that kind of humour, but probably a lot better, then go and see Bridget Christie on Saturday at 8 o'clock at the Cornerstone. She's really likeable, she's really energetic, and the show she's touring at the moment is a preview for her Edinburgh show. So if you're going up to Edinburgh in August, then also do catch her there.
I have something now for theatre fans. You can head this week to the Oxford Playhouse to see a wartime comedy called Less Than Kind. I think the title is some sort of reference to Hamlet. It's a new work written by Terence Rattigan. So Less Than Kind was actually written in 1944, but was accidentally lost amidst the confusion of the Second World War.
It was written during the time it's set.
It was written literally in the time it's set, which is actually, it's kind of unusual, because most of these kind of Second World War comedy dramas were penned, you know, afterwards when it became acceptable to make fun of death and suffering. But anyway, so this was lost for just about 70 years. And it has recently been unearthed. It is a play of wit and compassion, so we're told, about an angry teenager who returns from evacuation to find his mother is having an affair with a war profiteering cabinet minister.
Dun.
Thank you, yes. Sound effects available right to Anais Higgins at Daily Info. But anyway, we sent our Daily Info reviewer along on Tuesday night, the opening night. It was Phil Bloomfield. I'm going to read a few little clips which said that the principals, i.e. the main actors, circumscribe a neatly constructed triangle which Rattigan observes with a text of wit and touching compassion. It's a domestic drama, a social commentary and a political piece, all rolled into one highly evocative production. The period feel is apparently embedded in the text by the Oxford Playhouse's production, because after all, they do have, you know, the music of the 40s, which we all love now, the set, and even some air raid sirens. So you can go watch the fireworks and...
I'm not so good at those.
Okay, and some bombs. We're going to have bombs as well. That will be on at the Playhouse until Saturday, and Anais Higgins will be in the office until Friday if we can't work out how to get rid of it.
And to finish off, we've been banging on about it for long enough. The Wood Festival is finally here this
weekend.
Don't
say that. You know, we've been anticipating it because it's a good festival.
We have been anticipating it. And there are still tickets left, so you can join the rest of Oxford hippies, and by that I mean most of the Daily Info office, for a weekend.
really, a Venn diagram would have quite a lot of overlap there.
There's local bands, crafts, and Lose With A View. We run a competition for free tickets for this festival, and congratulations to the wonderful Jacqueline Wagnon, who won today. And the theme of the competition was nature and tree-inspired art. And there are some really beautiful entries, including a very cool stop-motion animation and some poems and plenty of gorgeous photos. So we would love for everybody to have a see of the wonderful work that was submitted. Search for Wood Festival 2013 on our website and have a look, and then go ahead and frolic in the field this weekend.
Wonderful. Well, that is all we've got time for, I'm afraid. We've covered the whole gamut of Oxford experience. Life in a 20-minute podcast. What more can you ask for? don't forget that even more events are available on www.dailyinfo.co.uk. We have pretty much anything you can do in Oxford or Oxfordshire you can find on our website.
You can also find somewhere to live, somewhere to work, mm-hmm. find yourself a pet.
Indeed.
Find yourself someone selling some tickets to something.
The options are almost limitless. So we do classified ads, sales, jobs, houses. Or, of course, you can find out more directly from us. We are on social media.
We are on Twitter at Daily Info Oxford, and you can search for our Facebook page. Search for Daily Info Oxford on Facebook and we should pop up.
Anyway, I've been Alan Collinson.
I'm still Anais Higgins.
Still?
Still. Forevermore. I shan't change my name.
but this has been Oxcast.